define if, because you kind of gave me that weird look, and I'm thinking, man, Malone didn't get fired, did he? Corliss Williamson joining us in the studio. Fury Electric Studio, good to be back here. We've been out on the road a lot lately. Justin Anker, Pat Bradley, Matty T, and the Big Nasty. Coach Malone apparently has roots to New York, but he did go to a, I guess, a high school in Boston. So
Usta.
He served both masters, and I know Pat hates anything New York-related, but since he's from Boston originally, we'll give him a pass, I guess. How's he? Because he's a young, I mean, as far as coaches go, is this his first
year
coaching?
New York.
It is. It's his first year being a head coach. He was an assistant last year in Golden State. His father was a longtime NBA assistant. He was there with the Pistons when they won the championship, and his father was actually the first
Your championship head coach. Or the before that?
No, before.
The early
before
ones.
That,
okay.
Yeah.
What's your connection with him? How did you get hooked up with him?
Wow.
Is it you?
The trainer?
Your relationship
trainer,
with Sacramento?
Yeah, my relationship with Sacramento. He was filling out his staff, and the athletic trainer there, Pete Youngman, mentioned my name to him when he was trying to fill out his staff, and he reached out and gave me a call in between recruiting trips.
He said, heck yeah, summer. I can get Corliss up here? Absolutely.
Yeah, it was pretty weird, but I mean, it was cool.
That was
all
a
right, so
deal.
We always, every time the draft comes around, always seem to brag on you and your situation because what people saw you at 6'7" at Arkansas and you basically being able to post up and score inside on anybody but still being able to step out and shoot it, that transition to you being, what would you consider yourself in the NBA, a three?
Yes.
Small forward three?
Small
which
forward,
you had to go from guarding guys a lot of times in the paint in college to out on the perimeter. And I can just remember, I guess, like I said, it was an article, an interview where you talked about changing your entire body and, of course, a mindset to get you to a lottery pick and ultimately win NBA championship being sixth man of the year. But just talk about how your transition went from your playing days. I don't want to say a lot of people looked at you a post player, but that right. was really when you look back, maybe a lot of people will have pinned that on you. But that 6'7" post guy is like, you know, you don't have that too often, but you transition to make yourself be what you were in the NBA.
Right. You know, but it goes back even further than that. I go back to, say, junior high and high school and even my AAU days. Even though I played in the post, all of my coaches, they always made sure that we worked on all the skills in basketball. That was dribbling, shooting, and everything. So I still had some of those skills as far as being able to handle the basketball and play on the perimeter. But for my team to win, for me to be successful, to help my team win, I had to playing the post in college and high school. So going to the NBA, not only did I have to change positions, I also had back surgery before my rookie season. And that was one of the things that the doctors and the therapists talked about. It was like, you know, you can't carry the weight that you've been carrying. You know, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to be able to play, you got to change your body. You got to do some things differently so that, you know, the surgery that you went through won't affect your game, won't affect your career. So after having that, you know, discussion with the doctors and the therapists, went in, made the decision, okay, I got to change my body. And my trainer back then was a guy named Dennis Davis.
Yeah, Double D.
Yeah, over at the Little Rock Athletic Club back then. We started working out and got my body into shape. And, you know, from there, just went to the
NBA.
Did
you have a conversation with somebody towards the end of your junior year to the NBA draft where whether it was a scout or your agent, where they said, hey, if you're going to make it in the NBA, you have to make a move in terms of what you see yourself as a player and a skill set?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of the guys I talked to was Darrell Walker. You know, I had a chance to talk to him. He was telling me a little bit about the NBA. He was coaching during that time, so he gave me a little insight as to what to expect. And you know, you also have, when you start talking to agents after you finish and you start getting ready to select your agent or who you're going to go with, they start telling you things that you're going to have to do differently, where you projected to play in the NBA. So, you know, for me, it wasn't that hard because I love the game. I wanted to be in the NBA. I wanted to be successful. So it was just a matter of just going out and doing it. And also I have my cousin, Clarence Finley, who helped me change my game. You know, coming back here to Little Rock, that's all we did. We would work out 2-3 times a day sometimes. And it was a lot of ball handling, a lot of shooting, a lot of perimeter work, footwork. And he was able to help me make that transition.
Yeah, because I got a lot of guys like you who are sort of betwixt positions. I mean, you don't work. I mean, the guy that comes to my head and was disappointed, I would have rather he stayed in school another year, but Marcus Fizer, who was at Iowa State. Another guy like you, sort of in between, not really a four and not really a three, kind of had that. He didn't have the desire in the workout that you had, obviously. So, or maybe he should have got with Coach Finley. That would have helped as well. Let me ask you about a kind of a black eye for the NBA this year. Really one of the very few negatives from the league this year because it was a spectacular season. Unless you count, I guess, you get teams with losing records making it in the playoffs in the East, but nevertheless. Hmm. The Donald Sterling thing caught us all off guard, I guess. To think that anybody associated with the NBA, A, let alone a frickin' owner, would have these kinds of beliefs and would then, you know, espouse them to anybody, even in a private conversation. I'm sure you guys, like the rest of the league, were all caught off guard, and you got to be thrilled with the fact that the league came down and not only made a decision, but also did something that was unprecedented and it made a very firm and clear, you know, I guess, statement.
Right. You know, it was sad, and it was hurtful. Not just being a former player or a current coach, but I mean, not even just being an African American. It's just being a human being. You know, in this day and age, that we have to still deal with some of those issues. And you know, on the platform they said it on, as far as him being an NBA owner and. We've been through that with, you know, the league, the percentage of African Americans or minorities that are in the league. For him to say that, it was very sad and hurtful, and I'm just happy and proud of the NBA and the way they stood up and took a stand on that. Not only the commissioner, but you look at the Clipper players. I mean, that is something that was hard for them to do, is to step out there on that court the next game and play.
They said DeAndre Jordan was like catatonic on that Saturday game after they all found out, or was it maybe Sunday, before the suspension had come down. He just like lost it, couldn't handle it.
Yeah. He played out of his mind, I know that.
The next game, that first game, he was like had zero points.
Oh, okay.
It was like brutal.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. You know, and some of those guys may have never been through that or never seen anything like that or heard of it. So for them to have to deal with it and try to go out and play a game, you know, most of the time when you're playing basketball, you want to be focused. You try to keep all the outside distractions away. You even talk to your family about it. But this is something they couldn't hide from. They couldn't run from it. It was right there in their face. It was going to be there. And I thought they handled it well.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was listening to the announcement. Trey and the guys on Overtime actually took the announcement live from Adam Silver. When he said, for life, here's my reaction. I was shocked. I know we were all pleasantly surprised, but were you surprised that it was for life? And then they throw in, oh, by the way, on your way out, leave us a $2.5 million check.
I wasn't too surprised. I wasn't too surprised. I mean, knowing the players or being a player, knowing that they were going to take a stand at some point, I knew that something like this had to be done. If not, there was, you know, like the player said, you know, they were going to boycott or do something else. So I was happy with that decision. I think a lot of people were. You may have some who weren't, but, you know, I think it was well-deserving. And you know, hopefully won't have to deal with any situations like this again.
Yeah, I think everybody learned a valuable lesson. If anybody does, and hopefully there aren't any owners that hold those kind of beliefs, but if there are, I'm sure they will keep them to themselves. We've only got a couple more minutes with Corliss here. I do want to obviously talk about you know, your former position at UCA with Russ Pennell, and I don't know how much familiarity you have with him, and of course at the University of Arkansas and Coach A, and that's a type of basketball that you're extremely familiar with, and let's start there. They got so close to getting in and certainly, unfortunately, stumbled a little bit down the stretch, but they did play themselves into a position to be on the brink of making the NCAA tournament this year, and I'm sure you had a chance to watch a little bit from afar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a chance to watch, and, you know, them beating Kentucky twice, I mean, that was just awesome, and, you know, I was watching them during their tournament, the SEC tournament, just hoping that they could just make it, you know, to that next round, and possibly win it. To put themselves in a position to be in the NCAA tournament. But when you look at Coach A, I mean, he's building the team. I think we've seen the progression each year. They've gotten better and better. And, you know, it just takes time. You know, of course we all want to snap our fingers and say, okay, everything is fixed. We're going to be in the NCAA tournament. But I think he's taking the right path. He's doing it the right way, bringing in some great young men that's playing basketball the way he wants to play. So I look for them to really take that next step next year and make it to the tournament.
When they played out at Cal, did you get a chance to go over? Were you guys around or not?
Yes, yes. I had a chance to make it out there. It was a tough game. Yeah. That first half, couldn't hardly score the basketball. Zone gave us trouble.
It looked like the Dallas-San Antonio game yesterday.
Yeah. Couldn't make any shots from the outside, but they fought back in the second half and tried to make a run there towards the end. But, it was nice to see them. Especially being out that way, it was only an hour and 15-minute drive, so yeah. I definitely had to be there.
There was of course, it's recruiting season now, and speaking of Razorbacks, and of course you have a great history with UCA and with the Razorbacks now, but I was just thinking here, and it's such a unique situation. You got a high school kid, okay, an Arkansas born and bred kid. It's such a unique deal to grow up in Arkansas, go and play for the Razorbacks, and then go and play in the NBA. In fact, the list that I have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys, okay, have gone on high school, Arkansas, basketball for the Razorbacks, and gone on to the NBA. And, of course, you're the only one that's won NCAA championship and NBA championship. There's a list of only 6 players who've done that I can, okay, list off here. I want to see if you guys can get them. There may be more that I'm missing, but I don't think I'm missing them all. And then when you look at some of the high school kids now, I think they don't realize a guy like Corliss Williamson, a guy, of course, I'll give you one, Sidney Moncrief.
That was the only one I had.
Okay? you think of it. There's 6 of
Joe
them by
Johnson.
My list. Joe Johnson, Corliss, Sidney. Come on now. There's one.
Did Del play in the NBA?
No. I think he got drafted maybe like 5th, 6th round. I'm not counting guys who got drafted because Jay Jennings actually got drafted in the 2nd round as well.
Okay. Brewer?
Brewer.
Good one.
And his son.
Yeah.
There you go. He's not going to say his dad. So that's 5. Who's the last guy that, by my count, who played high school in Arkansas, went on to play college for the Razorbacks, and then on to play in the NBA? He's still playing, just not in the NBA right now. Oh, and there may be more.
Sonny Weems,
yeah. West Memphis High School.
I could have spent the next 6 months and would not have come up with that.
I saw him on NBA TV the other day. That's why I clicked.
Okay, quickly here, because I know you got to go and we got to take a break, but just what does it mean and how does it help a guy who's from Arkansas to play for the Razorbacks? Because we have guys who are leaving state. We have great high school basketball players and football players who leave the state, and I try to tell them, this is it. This is like you – Look at Corliss.
This is Pat's recruiting pitch. You see, he has my recruiting shirt on. He thinks he's in charge of recruiting, but he's not. But go ahead.
Yeah, but to be a kid from Arkansas and to have an opportunity to put on that Razorback uniform, I mean, this is the greatest feeling in the world. I mean, this is – you're talking about playing in a professional league. You want to be on a professional team. The Razorbacks are the professional team of Arkansas. So to have an opportunity to represent your state that you grew up in, I can't see you doing anything else. You know, some other kids, they may have to make decisions that is better for them, that they think is better for them, and I can't fault them for that. But for me, if I'm talking to a kid and speaking on my experiences, stay at home. Give the Razorbacks a shot. You don't know what you're missing, and you don't know what type of support you're going to get from these people here in Arkansas who love you so much.
Amen, brother. Amen.
One last thing. Coach Pennell taking over UCA and came in and cleaned house, so a little different deal there. And I know academically they felt like they had some challenges they couldn't overcome with the current roster. But, again, you talked about sort of building it, and you came a long way in a short amount of time, I know, from what you inherited to where you were and left it in better shape, and Coach Pennell now is taking over. I know Coach Finn was in a tough spot last year, and that was a difficult situation for him. I mean, he was virtually a lame duck by the time midseason went on, but tell you what, it was great working with him last year. I thought he handled it like a pro. I know he had some opportunities. We were talking towards the end of the season. People had reached out to him. What's his plan going forward, do you know?
He's still trying to figure out what he wants to do. I mean, he has several options. Some high school jobs he's looking at. Just going to try to take his time. Didn't want to rush into anything right away. So he's definitely going to land on his feet. I mean, he knows the game of basketball. He's a great man, a great coach, and he's going to do well wherever he decides to go.
No doubt about it. Well, he's a great one. I really enjoyed being with him last year, too, and I certainly enjoyed our time together when you were UCA as well. But, hey, good luck next season. Pat?
Yeah.
Let's say it now and follow through.
Sign with the Razorbacks.
No.
Oh, my bad.
I don't even think you can say that. Let's road trip.
Road trip!
Because you know what? Our owner...
To Sacramento?
Or not our owner, but our president, he lives in Sacramento. He lived there before he moved here full-time to take over. But I've been all over California. I've never been to Sacramento. We need to do a little... Can you get us a couple seats if we come out?
Come on, I got you.
Matty T, you want to go Sac Town?
Okay, Corliss.
I'm there.
Okay.
Corliss, here's the deal. Your Twitter handle is still different than what it should be.
UCA Coach Corliss.
Can we before you go, I'll get you set up. All you got to do is change it. It doesn't have to be the big nasty. It doesn't have to be what we want it to be. You want it to be Coach Corliss.
Right.
Okay. Let's get that. Let's get it done.
Can you change it without, like, starting a whole new Twitter account?
Yes.
Can you change your name?
He won't lose any followers. It won't be any issue.
That's good. Okay.
Okay. That'll work.
Hey, good luck with everything. Tell your son happy birthday from the Buzz, and have a safe trip, and we'll catch up with you again maybe after the draft and see how things shake out there.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you very much. Corliss Williamson, everybody, 1048. Time out for the Buzz. The Zone will be back in just a moment.
Go Hawks.
There you go.
Yes!
Go Kings, my man.
Yes!
Go Kings.
Yes!